Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
President Obama said more than once, standing in front of the American people after an incident of bloody gun violence was by far the worst part of his job.
I've had to make statements like this too many times.
At least 12 people were killed when a gunman opened fire in a movie theater.
The majority of those who died today were children, beautiful little kids between the ages of 5 and 10 years old. Earlier today, a number of people were shot in Tucson, Arizona, including several who were meeting at a supermarket with their congresswoman, Gabrielle Giffords.
Trayvon Martin could have been me 35 years ago.
Communities like this have had to endure tragedies like this too many times.
The Peak, perhaps Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, December 2012. But the slaughter of little children could not bring Congress to make any substantial changes to the nation's gun control laws. The president took some steps by executive order, but the status quo remains intact. And what does that say about America right now and the Obama legacy? We're joined now by Representative Kathleen Rice. She's a Democrat from New York and also a former career prosecutor. And Sandro Galea, dean at the Boston University School of Public Health. These days, the words gun violence and public health are appearing in the same sentences more and more.
These 8 years have seen this extraordinary increase in visibility of the issue around guns with a number of high-profile mass shootings. And one would have expected to see some real federal action on gun safety measures that attempt to keep us all safer and to mitigate the potential harms of guns. That's what one would have expected, and I don't think we are there yet, 8 years later.
We have tried time and time again to get a bill on the floor of the House that would allow for a study as to what's the genesis of this gun violence, where is it coming from, how can we prevent it. And every single time that bill comes to the floor, it's defeated by the Republicans. They won't even allow a study to be done. And this is by outside people without a political agenda. So until we can get to the bottom of why this is happening and why some communities are beset with more gun violence than others, we're never really going to be able to come up with a solution.
Dr. Galea?
There is an extraordinary shortage of research on guns, and in no small part, Congresswoman Rice is entirely correct, that it's very difficult to get movement on action if we do not know what works and doesn't. That's number one. But the second thing is, I think that absence of knowledge has been interpreted as we don't know anything, which is actually not true. We have many states that have shown you can dramatically reduce the firearm death and injury rate, and we can learn from them. So, for example, Massachusetts, where I have the privilege of living, now has the lowest gun death rate in the country and has shown that common sense gun laws work without taking guns away from people. So a number of measures put in place in one state have shown that we can have a 60% reduction in firearm deaths in the past 20 years. But there has been a paralysis at the national level, driven in no small part by one particular party with one particular agenda, which is to stall any discussion on common sense gun safety. And that is the kind of discussion that people have said time and again that they actually want to see happening.
And the language has also moved to a discussion of mental illness and whether there is a way of screening people on some level to prevent some violence from taking place. As a public health doctor, what does that mean?
In some respects, the mental illness situation is a bit of a red herring. We know that people with mental illness are much more likely to be victims of violence than they are to commit violence. There is no question that many mass shootings are committed by people with mental illness, but mass shootings are less than 2% of the number of people who are killed or injured by guns. And the mental illness area, in some respects, is easy. It's easy for us to stigmatize people with mental illness and to say we need to make sure that people with mental illness do not have easy access to guns. But the real fundamental issue is that we have this extraordinary availability of guns, we're buying more guns, and that guns are not regulated, and as Congresswoman Rice said, there are many loopholes. For example, right now, Congress regulates toy guns and teddy bears, but has prohibited the National Consumer Product Safety Commission from regulating real firearms. So we have a skewed perspective on what we should be doing around guns, even though, this is the paradox, most Americans, when asked, are clearly in favor of common sense gun safety reform.
Civil rights legislation was stalled in the Congress, even though people really wanted there to be movement on civil rights and measures to get rid of Jim Crow violence. It wasn't until Emmett Till's mother decided to show the visual picture of what had been done to him in that beating that really changed minds. I had this revelation talking to Eric Holder, the attorney general, when he was attorney general. He had been in the room in Sandy Hook on the day of that shooting. He saw what the police saw and what the first responders saw. It seems to me that the way change happens is people are going to have to see what the result of this carnage is. Until we do, it's abstract. Doctor?
Interesting reflection, John, and I think it's a reflection of the narrative and how the narrative has been controlled by a particular group with a particular interest. Now, what is the tipping point going to be? You mentioned the Emmett Till situation. One would have thought that the massacre of 20 children would be a tipping point. One would have thought that the massacre of 49 innocent people in a nightclub would be a tipping point, and that hasn't happened, which I think illustrates the height of the ideological wall that we need to get over to push this issue forward. But the sad truth is that there will be other incidents, and it is incumbent upon all of us to keep pushing at that ideological wall until we do reach that tipping point.
So, Representative Rice, does Barack Obama leave office having failed at something that he went before the nation in tears to plead for?
There's no question that there isn't a president, I think, in the history of this country who has highlighted this issue more than Barack Obama. And whether that is through his own personally held beliefs, together with all of these terrible things happening during his 8 years of presidency, history, I guess, will be the judge of that. You know, just a couple of things in terms of, you know, John, when you say, will it bring public sentiment around to show pictures of 20 children, 6-7-year-old kids who were killed? I think our society, and this is not just over the last 5 years, but probably over the last 20 years, we've become so desensitized just because of the amount of violence you can see on the TV or in movie theaters.
I don't know. I think there's something fundamentally different about that picture than something you'd see in a video game.
I don't disagree that the most compelling image you could show to bring people around this issue is that of a child who was killed. There's no question about it. Unless and until we do something about organizations like the NRA, who quite literally buy the allegiance of elected officials, and then their mantra becomes what the NRA wants rather than what their constituents want, until we get rid of organizations and their influence like that in Washington, you know, you have people who take a position that this is, I am not going to go for common sense closing loopholes, gun safety measures, because they're afraid of getting attacked by the NRA in a primary, and they're afraid that they're going to lose their position. We have to address that issue because, to me, those are the arguments that I hear and the positions I see some of my colleagues take, and that is just, that's crazy. I mean, we should be looking at what the public wants, and the public wants common sense gun safety measures that are not going to have the effect of taking guns away from law-abiding people, but are going to ensure that people who don't have guns shouldn't have guns don't. So that has to be part of the conversation as well.
So the preferences that Americans express in polls are different than the impulse to vote people out of office. It seems to me that what these 8 years have taught us is that American voters aren't going to vote people out of office who are beholden to the NRA, and that the NRA is alive and well. And as Barack Obama himself even said, he's been very good for the gun industry, increasing the sales of ammunition and guns to record heights. I don't see how we get past this, Dr. Galea.
When you stop and think about it, you say when President Obama started his first two terms, the average number of guns that a gun owner had was about 4. Now they're around 8. We have about 300 million firearms in individual hands, leaving aside military, in this country. We have about 36,000 people dying from gun deaths in 2015. Americans are sensible, and when they hear these numbers, they recognize that we should do something about it. So why does nothing happen? Well, nothing happens because the legal structure, our legislative system is being gummed up by a stacking of individuals who are pushing one very clear, very particular agenda, which is an obstructionist agenda, obstructing any forward motion. And as, of course, you know, as we all know, it's much easier to obstruct than it is to propose something constructive.
Final thoughts?
This is an issue that we can get under control if there is a political will to do it. And look, we've seen people, you make reference to the civil rights movement, people have to stand up and say, enough is enough. And we need to, I do everything I can in my district and across this state here in New York to motivate people to get out there, to make phone calls to their elected officials so they hear that this is what people want. And you make it about not, you know, money into your election campaign, but people calling you and saying, this is what the position I want you to take. And I don't believe it's an insurmountable problem, but there has to be an enormous, we have to have backbone in Washington.
Representative Kathleen Rice, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Sandro Galea is Dean of the Boston University School of Public Health. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.